About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with, to begin with, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given him an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her own city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were saved in half. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Verses 1 through 40, all of Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for how that you and your word are one, and there's power in your word. There's grace in your word. There's healing grace in your word. There's so much blessing found in your word. Thank you for the truth that your word is pregnant with the ability to bless us. More and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be believers who are much more faithful to spend much time every day reading and meditating on you, and thus walking with you in your word. Guide us so that more and more, Father, we're faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. Bless our time in your word today and more in the future. Indeed, expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak to us. Father, I ask that you'd be intimate and present with us, that you would be personal, and that we would hear you, that we'd pay attention, that we'd listen, that we'd open ourselves up to your poking and your prodding to reveal any ways about us that need to grow. Father, thank you so much for being such a good teacher. I ask that you'd bring to our remembrance, to our mind, to our memory, all the ways that you've carried us through the past. Thank you so much. And Father, I ask that in that remembrance that we'd walk in faith for the future and so much more. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to take a moment to share an article once again. If you want to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. The title, God's Word, Medicine for All the Ills of Life. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, specifically from the Jubilee Bible translation. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Again, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Then Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Then Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Again, Isaiah 26, 3. Then Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. In the Gospel of John, the Word of God tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 1. Because the Word of God is the Lord Jesus, therefore the Word of God can heal a person completely, just like Jesus can heal a person completely as well. Why is this true? Because they're one and the same. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God ministers to and nourishes your entire being. It does it in such a way that no one else or nothing else can. To put it another way, God's word is full of grace, light, and blessing. So when you spend time reading and meditating on God's word, the word blesses your mind, body, and spirit like nothing else in life. The word of God ministers to your entire being, and as an individual believer reads and meditates on God's word, he or she is sitting in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and being blessed by him. Our world is sick in so many ways. It's sick, distorted, dark, and full of things that you can easily call ills in life. Too many struggle with hatred, anger issues, unforgiveness, bitterness, lust, greed, addictions, perversions, thoughts of suicide, and attempts at suicide. Many are sick spiritually, mentally, and in their physical bodies. The world is full of all kinds of illnesses or ills in life. Many people are ill in their minds, in their perspectives, their way of thinking. Many are ill in the philosophies of life that they've chosen to live by and embrace. The Word of God is medicine for all the ills of life. It's the cure for so many of the maladies that exist in this world. So when a believer spends time reading and meditating on the powerful Word of God, he or she is spending time with Jesus. That person is spending time receiving the most powerful and effective medicine for good in their lives that they can receive. Among other things, God's word is medicine to our entire being. The word of God is medicine with no bad side effects. The word is medicine that literally ministers to every part of your being all at the same time. Also, God's word is medicine that you can take as often as you want, and it'll simply bless you more and more. You cannot overdose on the Word of God. The more you take of it, the more it will bless you and your whole life. What's the cure for all the ills of life? The matchless Word of God. So let's be wise enough to take God's Word in large doses every day. One important goal that you can set is reading and meditating on the Word of God no less than 3 chapters every single day. If you do, your life will be much healthier and much more blessed. Finally, be mindful that the first step toward becoming healed and whole in life is inviting Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll finish the article on the other side. Again, the title of this particular article, God's Word, Medicine for All the Ills of Life. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. one where the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's your name that tears down walls.
Music from Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're completing sharing from the article entitled God's Word, Medicine for All the Ills of Life. And the article picks up, finally be mindful that the first step toward becoming healed and whole in life is inviting Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. If you wish to make this all-important step in your life, would you simply sincerely pray this prayer or a similar one and invite Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? And you can pray it with me even now. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the title of that article, God's Word, Medicine for All the Ills of Life. And keep in mind, it's an evangelism and discipleship tool. If you want to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to send you a copy. And remember, it's a tool to help you and I to be partners in the building of God's kingdom in the work of evangelism and discipleship. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he caused David to harm them by taking a census. Go and count the people of Israel and Judah, the Lord told him. So the king said to Joab and the commanders of the army, take a census of all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to the north to Beersheba in the south, so I may know how many people there are. But Joab replied to the king, may the Lord your God let you live to see 100 times as many people as there are now. But why, my lord the king, do you want to do this? But the king insisted that they take the census. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out to count the people of Israel. First they crossed the Jordan and camped at Aroer, south of the town in the valley, in the direction of Gad. Then they went to Jazer, then to Gilead in the land of Ta Timhoshai, and to Dan Jaan, and around to Sidon. Then they came to the fortress of Tyre, and all the towns of the Hivites and Canaanites. Finally, they went south to Judah, as far as Beersheba. Having gone through the entire land for 9 months and 20 days, they returned to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of people to the king. There were 800,000 capable warriors in Israel who could handle a sword, and 500,000 in Judah. But after he had taken the census, David's conscience began to bother him, and he said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt, Lord, for doing this foolish thing." The next morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, who was David's seer. This was the message. "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you three choices. Choose one of these punishments, and I will inflict it on you." So Gad came to David and asked him, "Will you choose 3 years of famine throughout your land, 3 months of fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague throughout your land? Think this over and decide what answer I should give the Lord who sent me." "I'm in a desperate situation," David replied to Gad. "But let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Do not let me fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel that morning, and it lasted for 3 days. A total of 70,000 people died throughout the nation, from Dan to the north to Beersheba in the south. But as the angel was preparing to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented and said to the death angel, 'Stop. That is enough.' At that moment, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. When David saw the angel, he said to the Lord, 'I am the one who has sinned and done wrong, but these people are as innocent as sheep. What have they done? Let your angel fall against me and my family.' That day Gad came to David and said to him, 'Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite.' So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him. When Arunah saw the king and his men coming toward him, he came and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. 'Why have you come, my lord the king?' Arunah asked. David replied, 'I've come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there so that he will stop the plague.' 'Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish,' Arunah said to David. 'Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing boards and ox yokes for wood to build a fire on the altar. I will give it all to you, Your Majesty, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice.' But the king replied to Arunah, 'No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing.' So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer for the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped." End of the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. King David was now very old, and no matter how many blankets covered him, he could not keep warm. So his advisors told him, "Let us find a young virgin to wait on you and look after you, my lord. She will lie in your arms and keep you warm." So they searched throughout the land of Israel for a beautiful girl, and they found Abishag from Shunem and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she looked after the king and took care of him, but the king had no sexual relations with her. About that time, David's son Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, began boasting, "I will make myself king." So he provided himself with chariots and charioteers and recruited 50 men to run in front of him. Now his father, King David, had never disciplined him at any time, even by asking, "Why are you doing that?" Adonijah had been born next after Absalom, and he was very handsome. Adonijah took Joab, son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar the priest into his confidence, and they agreed to help him become king. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and David's personal bodyguard refused to support Adonijah. Adonijah went to the stone of Zeholeth near the spring of Enrogel, where he sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened calves. He invited all his brothers, the other sons of King David, and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, or Benaiah, or the king's bodyguard, or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, and asked her, "Haven't you heard that Haggith's son, Adonijah, has made himself king, and our Lord David doesn't know about it? If you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my advice. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'My lord the king, didn't you make a vow and say to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said.'" So Bathsheba went into the king's bedroom. He was very old now, and Abishag was taking care of him. Bathsheba bowed down before the king. "What can I do for you?" he asked her. She replied, "My lord, you made a vow before the Lord, your God, when you said to me, 'Your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne.' But instead, Adonijah has made himself king, and my lord the king does not even know about it. For he has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves and sheep, and he has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited Abiathar the priest and Joab, the commander of the army, but he did not invite your servant Solomon. And now, my lord the king, all Israel is waiting for you to announce who will become king after you. If you do not act, my son Solomon and I will be treated as criminals as soon as my lord the king has died." While she was still speaking before the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. The king's officials told him, "Nathan the prophet is here to see you." Nathan went in and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan asked, "My lord the king, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves and sheep, and he has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited the commander of the army and Abiathar the priest. They are feasting and drinking with him and shouting, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But he did not invite me or Zadok the priest or Benaiah or your servant Solomon. Has my lord the king really done this without letting any of his officials know who should be the next king?" King David responded, "Call Bathsheba." So she came back in and stood before the king. And the king repeated his vow, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne this very day, just as I vowed to you before the Lord, the God of Israel." Then Bathsheba bowed down with her face to the ground before the king and exclaimed, "May my lord King David live forever." Then King David ordered, "Call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came into the king's presence, the king said to them, "Take Solomon and my officials down to Gihon Spring. Solomon is to ride on my own mule. There Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet are to anoint him king over Israel. Blow the ram's horn and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then escort him back here, and he will sit on my throne. He will succeed me as king, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." "Amen," Benaiah son of Jehoiada replied, "May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, decree that it happen." Verses 1 through 26, 1 Kings chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Music of Mercy Me with All of Creation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, and to all of his holy people throughout Greece. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us all He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially toward you. Our letters have been straightforward, and there is nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. I hope someday you will fully understand us, even if you don't understand us now. Then, on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, you will be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. Since I was so sure of your understanding and trust, I wanted to give you a double blessing by visiting you twice. First on my way to Macedonia, and again when I returned from Macedonia. Then you could send me on my way to Judea. You may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached to you, and as God's ultimate yes, He always does what He says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us. Now, I call upon God as my witness that I am telling the truth. The reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke. But that does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So I decided that I would not bring you grief with another painful visit. For if I cause you grief, who will make me glad? Certainly not someone I have grieved. That is why I wrote to you as I did, so that when I do come, I won't be grieved by the very ones who ought to give me the same greatest joy. Surely you all know that my joy comes from your being joyful. I wrote that letter in great anguish, with a troubled heart and many tears. I didn't want to grieve you, but I wanted to let you know how much love I have for you. I'm not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. When I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. But I had no peace of mind because my dear brother Titus hadn't yet arrived with a report from you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up from God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the Word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualifications come from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. The old way, with laws etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God. In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. Verses 1 through 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your heart and life, today is a good day, a great day to make that step and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord. If you'd like to do that, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long, long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to seek you in prayer every day. And help me to obey you every day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you. We do want to share with you some literature and resources that are discipleship resources that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do hope to hear from you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. And once again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the article entitled God's Word, Medicine for All the Ills of Life, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.